officer had come in, and with him the odor of the angel of death. We stared fixedly at his fleshy lips. From the middle of the barracks, he harangued us. "You're in a concentration camp at Auschwitz." A pause. He observed the effect his words had produced. His face has stayed in my memory to this day, a tall man, about 30, with crime inscribed upon his brow and in the pupils of his eyes. He looked us over as if we were a pack of leprous dogs hanging on to our lives. "Remember this," he went on. "Remember it forever. Engrave it into your minds. You are at Auschwitz. And Auschwitz is not a convalescent home. It's a concentration camp. Here you have got to work. If not, you will go straight to the furnace, to the crematory. Work or the crematory. The choice is in your hands." We had already lived through so much that night. We thought nothing could frighten us anymore, but his clipped words made us tremble. Here the word furnace was not a word empty of meaning. It floated on the air, mingling with the smoke. It was perhaps the only word which did have any real meaning here. He left the barracks. Capos appeared, crying, "All skilled workers, locksmiths, electricians, watchmakers, one step forward." The rest of us were made to go to another barracks, a stone one this time, with permission to sit down. A gypsy deportee was in charge of us. My father was suddenly seized with colic. He got up and went toward the gypsy, asking politely in German, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the lavatories are?" The gypsy looked him up and down slowly from head to foot, as if he wanted to convince himself that this man addressing him was really a creature of flesh and bone, a living being with a body and a belly. Then, as if he had suddenly woken up from a heavy doze, he dealt my father.